If you would, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28. I'll tell you, it's such a pleasure for me to be here with you. I've been looking forward to it. I was disappointed we couldn't come a few weeks ago because of the weather, but so thankful the Lord's enabled us to come this week. Lindsay mentioned Don going south, it gets cold. He called me Wednesday night, and we had to cancel service at Hurricane Road. And Jan will tell you, that always depresses me. I'm so depressed after cancel service. And Don called about that time. He wanted to make sure, you know, I thought we could still come. And so I said, I think the weather looks like it's going to clear up, we'll come. I heard Larry in the background laughing, saying, you tell Frank it's 70 degrees here. I said, I don't even know I like him too much right now. So they're having good weather, at least. I hope the Lord blesses their meeting there. Isaiah chapter 28, the title of the message is a question that I want us to, each of us, to answer in our hearts this morning. Will your refuge stand? Now, every one of us, we have a refuge in our mind, what our refuge will be in that day of judgment. In our text, we read of two refuges. And there's only two, really and truly, there's only two different refuges. We read of two different refuges from the wrath of God's sin. The false refuges fall under many different headings, but really there's just two. One true refuge, one false refuge. One of the refuges in our text is swept away. It offers no protection at all against God's wrath. Look at verse 15. But you have said, we've made a covenant with death. And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Look down verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. That refuge will be destroyed. But there's a second refuge in our text that stands strong, that gives complete refuge from the wrath of God against our sin. We read about it in verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now I ask you again, which one of these refuges is your refuge? Will your refuge stand in the day of God's judgment? And this is an important question to be asked in our day. It's just as important to ask today as it was in Isaiah's day. Isaiah wrote to Jews. They had the right religion, as far as the form of it. They had the right form of the worship of God, but they were hiding in the wrong refuge. They hid in the refuge of human lineage. All of our parents and grandparents are believers. We're Abraham's children. They hid in the fact they had the right doctrine and nobody else did. The right doctrine wasn't in the Philistines or the Amorites. It was in Israel. They hid in the ceremonies of the law. They hid in their own law-keeping. And they built those bunkers so thick that they missed Christ when he came. And God took his presence away from that nation to this day. Now, I see many similarities between the nation Israel and America today. God has blessed this nation for many, many years. How he's preserved us and protected out of this nation was formed. It's a miracle. You can only contribute to God's providence. You can't contribute to anything else. He blessed this nation for many years, just like he did the nation Israel. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace is preached in many places in this country. I know that it's just a remnant, it's just a handful, but there's quite a few men we know are preaching God's free and sovereign grace in this country. While many countries, there's no place you could hear the gospel. God has seen fit to have his gospel preached in this country. He's provided for us and protected it. But I ask you, hasn't our nation done the same thing the nation Israel did? I tell you, we have. as a nation. We've turned our back on God. We've turned to idolatry. And if we're hiding in any refuge at all, it's the refuge of God's past blessings to our nation. But I want to get personal this morning. I'm not preaching to our nation. I'm preaching to you. My question to you is not what is our nation doing. My question to you is, who's your refuge? Will your refuge stand? Now, as a group, this congregation has heard the gospel preached for many years. God Almighty has blessed this congregation richly. No denying that. I mean, it's a fact. But that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking, who's your refuge? Will your refuge stand? And that's a good refuge, or a good question, because man has created many false refuges. There's the refuge of keeping the law better than somebody else. We all like to think we're better than somebody else. The Pharisee in the temple did that, didn't he? He kept the law better than that publican. But what does Scripture say? He went home to his house without a refuge. And that publican went home justified. The refuge of keeping the law better than somebody else is no refuge. Then man has created the refuge of attending the right place, the right church where the right doctrine is preached. Well, the Jews had that, didn't they? Almost every one of them missed Christ. Let's be careful not to hide in the assumption that we're saved just because we attend here. The question for my soul is not, do I attend the right place where the truth is preached? Now, that's very important. But the state of my soul hangs on this. Do I believe Christ? Now, do I have faith in Him? Do I believe the truth that's preached? That's the question. Then man has created the refuge of knowledge, knowing the right doctrine. As long as I can remember, I've known the truth. I've given mental assent to the truth of the Scripture. Brother Henry said one time about me, he said, Frank's always been a 5-point Calvinist. He could recite the 5 points of Calvinism going down the stairs on his head backward at midnight. But that's not the question. Salvation is not knowledge. Judas showed us that, didn't he? Judas knew all the right doctrine, but he didn't know the Lord. Salvation is not knowledge. Salvation is trusting Christ, resting in Christ, believing Christ. Then man has created the refuge of experience. Well, if I've experienced certain religious experiences and feelings, then I must be saved. Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 wanted experience. He saw the miracles. He wanted to offer the apostles money to buy it so I could have that experience. And Peter told him, you better go home and pray. You're in the bond of iniquity. Experience is no refuge. Salvation is not experience. Salvation is a new birth. Now, why is man devised so many different refuges? Well, because inherently, man knows I've got to answer to God. Man knows I'm going to die and face God in the judgment. He's going to judge me according to what I've done. That's why man always wants his good to outweigh his bad, because he knows he's going to be judged. And man knows that's not going to be a pretty sight. Look in our text, Isaiah 28, verse 2. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with a hand. Now this one who's mighty and strong, who's coming to judge sin, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's put it in man to know, now there's a storm of judgment coming. It's going to bring wind and hail that destroys sinners. So man thinks, well, we better get busy building us a storm cellar. And that might sound like a good idea. If the storm's coming, we better have a storm cellar. But before men start building their storm cellar, you know what they do? They get drunk. And drunk people don't build anything very well. Look at verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and strong drink. They're out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred. through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And if you look over in chapter 29, verse 9, I'm going to show you this. Isaiah's not talking about these men being drunk on wine. He's talking about them being drunk on religion, drunk on man's religion and man's way of thinking. Isaiah 29, verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They're drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. They're drunk on man's religion, on man's way of thinking, on man's theology. And man's religion clouds the mind and makes us make foolish decisions just like a person who's drunk too much alcohol. Religion makes men stumble, just like alcohol makes it so we stumble. We can't walk a straight line. Man's religion doesn't preach Christ. So when Christ is preached, when he's set forth, men stumble over Christ because he's not preached to them. Look over 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, Christ is the Savior of sinners. But people who insist on their own righteousness, they stumble over Christ because they're not looking for Christ. They're not looking for him, so they stumble over him. And when they stumble into hell. 1 Peter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Why do they stumble? Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And I'll tell you where this error begins that causes men to stumble, that causes men to be drunk on religion. It begins in the pulpit. The priest and the prophets have erred. It was true in Isaiah's day. It's true in our day. All they spit out is error. They just vomit it up because that's all they take in. See that in verse 8? For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Their table is full of vomit, and that's all man's works are. It's just vomit. There's nothing clean or righteous in it. They just keep taking more and more and more of it in. So that's all they keep vomiting up. Their table. They might make that table seem like it might look good. You know, it's a religious table. But I'm telling you, their table is full of filthiness. It's not full of righteousness. It's full of filthiness. It's not full of the righteousness of Christ. It's full of the vomit and filthiness of man's works. And when people who are drunk on religion, or drunk on man's religion, when they hear the gospel, they hate it. They hate the gospel. They hate the gospel of grace because they're drunk on man's religion. Verse 12 in our text, Isaiah 28. To whom he said, now, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. When they're drunk on religion, and a person hears the gospel, they say, all you preach is the same thing, over and over and over again. You just keep preaching the same thing. You're boring me. I want to hear something new so I don't get bored. All you preach is the simplicity of Christ. I want you to give me something to challenge my mind. You challenge me. All you preach is Christ. That's all you talk about is Him. You talk about His sacrifices, His righteousness. I want to hear how to live a better life. I want to hear how to get rich. I want to hear how to get along with my neighbors better, you know, and win friends, influence people. The gospel is boring to them. And they reject Christ. They reject God's way, so God says, all right. Verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Then they talk to the men in the pulpit, the problems in the pulpit. Because you have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood if we hid ourselves. Now these who are drunk on man's religion, they reject the gospel. They hear the gospel, but they reject it. They say, we've got a better way. Now I've never seen this as clearly as when I was studying for this message. Men in religion, false religion, they use a lot of the right terminology. They use the word sin. They use the word grace. They use the word salvation. Now, if you listen long enough, you'll figure this out. They've got the wrong definition of each of those terms. But they use a lot of the right terminology. They even use the word covenant. Now what they used here? We've got a covenant. But they're not talking about God's covenant of grace, are they? They've got a covenant with death. They're not trusting the covenant of life and grace in Christ Jesus. It's a covenant with death. They've got an agreement, but it's agreement with hell. It's not a covenant of grace and peace in Christ. And I'll tell you the reason for that. They're more interested in avoiding hell than finding Christ and submitting to Him and to His righteousness. That's why they're not interested in the covenant of grace. They're interested in a covenant with hell because I'm interested in avoiding hell, not finding Christ. Now you answer this question in your mind. Which is it with you? Are you more interested in avoiding hell or knowing Christ? Which is it? The answer to that question will determine which refuge you seek. If your heart's desire is to know Christ, you're going to find Him. You won't quit till you do. If you're interested in avoiding hell, you'll find that refuge too. You'll find a covenant with hell. These men are drunk on religion, Isaiah's talking about. They have made anything but Christ their refuge. They've covered themselves in man's lies. Now, lies. Not the truth of Christ. Not Christ the truth. They've covered themselves in man's lies. Now, what's a lie? Anything that's not according to this book. Anything that contradicts this book, the Word of God, is a lie. Now, listen to me. It's not well-meaning. It's not close enough to help us out some. It doesn't have some good things in it and some bad things in it. No, it's all a lie. It's a lie. And what does God say about their covenant? They said, we've got a covenant. We've got a covenant with hell. What does God say about their covenant? God says, I'm going to disannul it. God says that refuge will not stand. Verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with hell shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall it pass over, by night and by day, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Their covenant with death shall be disannulled because God the judge didn't approve it. Christ didn't ratify that covenant with His own blood, so it's going to be disannulled. God's going to come to judge sin in strict truth. So all the refuges of lies, the different refuges of lies that men have created, they're going to be exposed and they're going to be destroyed because God judges in truth. And everyone hiding in those refuges will be damned. They've got a covenant, but it's the wrong covenant. It's a covenant of death through works, not a covenant of life through grace. And when God's judgment comes to sweep away that refuge of lies, look in Luke 23. What's going to happen in that day? Just like they've got the right terminology, in that day they'll pray. But they're praying to the wrong place. Luke 23, verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Brother Henry said that's the strangest prayer meeting ever held, to pray to the mountains to fall on them. See, they've got a form, don't they? They've got a form of religion. They've got a form of a wall built for the refuge, but that wall is bowed. It's not straight. When Isaiah talks about the line and the plummet, he's talking about the plumb line that a mason uses to make sure that wall is straight and plumb. Now, I don't know a lot about building, but I know this. The line doesn't lie. The line will always be straight. So the line's going to reveal if the wall's crooked or not. I tell you what Isaiah's telling us here. God's judgment's not going to be eyeballed. He's not going to, I think that's straight. No, he's judging with the line and the plummet. And God's plumb line is the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ will always reveal man's unrighteousness and will be destroyed in judgment. The truth of Christ always reveals a refuge of lies that will be destroyed in judgment. The only safe hiding place is the truth. Well, who's the truth? The truth is not a what. The truth is not a set of doctrines. The truth is Christ. He's the only safe hiding place. And all these refuges of lies, they're deceiving men, but they're not deceiving God. God sees things in truth. And from the time Adam fell, man has been trying to cover his sin. And, just like Adam, he sewed fig leaves together. And any covering man tries to make will not cover our sin and our shame any better than Adam's fig leaves. We haven't devised anything better than Adam did the moment he fell. Verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. I've got a good friend back at Hurricane Road, Dan Morgan. Dan's 6'3", 6'4". And he tells me, I can't sleep on a twin bed, unless it's an extended length. He said, I just can't sleep on a twin bed. I've got to try to lay catty corner in. It's just very uncomfortable for me. That twin bed's our works. Our works do not provide us a comfortable place to lie. There's no support there. There's no reason to find any comfort there. Because, my friends, our works are not enough. They won't do the job. And you put my good friend Dan on a twin bed with a baby blanket, and I'm telling you, he's going to be uncomfortable. That blanket's not going to cover that full-grown man. I don't care how hard he tries to stretch that blanket, if he turns it catty corner or stretches it, or how hard he tries to curl himself up into a little ball, that baby blanket's not going to cover him. That's trying to cover ourselves and our works. No matter how much we try to stretch them, how hard we try to curl ourselves into a little ball, our works are not going to cover us. They're not going to make us comfortable. Worse than not making us comfortable, they'll damn our souls. That's what our works will do. Because our works are not enough to cover the cost, to pay for the cost of our sin. Our works are not enough to cover the shame and the uncleanness of our sin. Sin is not just something we did wrong. I wish I'd done it differently. Sin is uncleanness. Sin is rebellion against God, and our works won't cover it. It'll just add to it. Now I wish that God would make this so in our hearts, that we would not try to make any of these false refuges cover us. I tell you, I command you upon the authority of God's word, you trust in Christ. You hide in Him. Only God can make you do it, but I pray He would. You trust in Christ. You hide in Him. Well, Frank, you've told me about all these other refuges. They're all going to be swept away. It doesn't sound like there's any safe hiding place. You tell me hide in Christ. Is He a good refuge? Will he stand? If I'm hiding in Christ, will I be saved? Well, I don't want you to take my word for it. What does God say? Does God say that's a safe hiding place? Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. There is a refuge that's a sure hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you 5 points about Christ the refuge that I pray will make us run to Him. Number one, Christ is a safe hiding place because Christ is the foundation stone laid by God Himself. Now, like I told you, I don't know a lot about building. But I do know this. The foundation is the first thing you lay when you're building a house. So it must be vitally important if it's the first thing that's laid. Everything's going to stand on it. And that foundation is just as sure as the builder's skill and wisdom. Now, if you saw a house and somebody told you, yeah, frankly, that foundation, he did all by himself, you wouldn't want to go into it because you'd think it's not safe. If Frank doesn't have the skill or the wisdom, I wouldn't have the first clue how to start doing that. But this foundation has been laid by God Himself. God, who has all wisdom, who has all ability, laid the foundation for this refuge. Christ is the foundation. And Christ is the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is what you lay first. And everything else in that house is measured from the cornerstone, from the same spot. That's the way everything stays straight. And everything stays plumb as you measure everything from the same spot. That's why we only preach Christ. We never preach anything but Him. Because Christ is the only foundation God has laid. What's your doctrine? Christ. What's your hope? Christ. What's your statement of faith? Christ. Christ is all. That's the way everything's going to stay straight and stay plumb. We preach Christ. Christ and Him crucified. Christ is the sure foundation because He's the foundation laid by God Himself. Second, Christ is the safe hiding place because Christ is the tried foundation. He's the tried cornerstone. You don't have to wonder, will this foundation, will this cornerstone, will it stand the test of time? He will. Christ has already stood the test of time. He's already withstood every test that can be thrown at Him. Christ was tried by the Old Testament saints and proven to be saved. Abel came before God, and He brought the blood of a lamb. He brought that blood that was just pictured the blood of Christ. And Abel was accepted. He brought the blood. He was building on this foundation. Israel went down into Egypt. Lindsay read about it. They went down into Egypt. God brought them out. As soon as they came out of the wilderness, they thought, well, Moses, what did you bring us out here for? You brought us out here to die first. We don't have any water with us. God said, Moses, gather people together. You stand on this rock and you smite it. And every man, woman, child, and all of Israel, all their animals, all of them, they all drank from that rock. And they never went thirsty. Christ stood the test. That rock was Christ. Moses, one day up in the mountain, asked God, would you show me your glory? God said, Moses, I'll show you my glory. But you can't see my face and live. But you can live if I hide you in the cleft of the rock. There you'll be safe. The only place you'll be safe is hiding in the cleft of that rock. Look at Psalm 61. You know the story of the life of David. David faced many storms and dangers. And in every one of them, David found this foundation to be the sure foundation. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing. This has been a strong tower. This has been a shelter for my enemies. Look over Psalm 62. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now look at verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. David tried him and found he's the sure foundation. If you come to him, you'll find the same thing. He's the sure foundation, the safe refuge from every storm. He's the tried cornerstone. The apostles tried him. Look at Matthew chapter 16. The Old Testament saints tried him. The apostles tried him. And they found Christ to be everything they'd ever need. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Our Lord did the same thing I tried to do here this morning, make this personal. He saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now you know good and well that rock our Lord's talking about, he's going to build his church upon, is not Peter. Teenage girl's going to make Peter crumble in just a few days. I mean, just crumble to dust. Peter's not a good foundation. Peter's not a good rock. The rock our Lord is saying he's going to build his church upon is the Lord Peter was confessing. The whole church is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rock Christ Jesus is so sure the gates of hell can't prevail against him. The apostles tried him and found him to be everything they needed. They built on that rock and turned the world upside down. These 11 uneducated fishermen turned the world upside down. Along with the Apostle Paul, who was educated, but God took all the education out of him, and then he built on this rock. They turned the world upside down. Satan came to our Lord. He tried him in his weakest condition. He didn't eat or drink for 40 days. Then Satan came to him to try him and found nothing in him. Satan tried him and found nothing in the Lord Jesus that he could work with. The Father tried him and found Christ to be perfect. The only reason the sacrifice of Christ would be accepted is he's perfect. The Father tried him and he is perfect. And that's why everyone who hides in Christ will find a safe refuge. Everyone who hides in Christ is perfect because in him we're perfect. You see, sinners don't just need a covering. Now, we've got to have a new nature. We must be not just covered. We can't have a covering that just hides our sin and our shame. I was thinking the other day, I was ironing my shirt before I got ready. Well, if I didn't iron it over here, you'd never know. The wrinkle's covered. The imperfection's covered. That can't be the covering we have standing before God. We must be made perfect. See, false religion, all they can deal with is the outside. They just try to have a covering to cover up the outside. If we're going to be saved, if we're going to be accepted, we've got to have a covering that cleanses us from all of our sin. We must be cleansed from our original sin in Adam. We've got to be cleansed from our sinful thoughts and actions and motives. And that's the covering that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, we're complete. In him, we're perfect. Christ is the tried cornerstone, the tried foundation. Third, Christ is the safe hiding place because Christ is the precious cornerstone. Christ is precious. He's precious because he's rare. He's the only hiding place. He's the only refuge. Christ is precious in his character. This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. Christ is precious in his sacrifice. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, because the sacrifice of Christ is so precious, it's already paid the sin debt of all of God's elect. The name of Christ is precious. It's precious in his saving power. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A precious name. Christ is the precious water of life to a thirsty sinner. Are you thirsty? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You know, the only reason we thirst is because we recognize there's a lack of something in us. Do you thirst for righteousness? Come to Christ. He's the precious water of life. Christ is the precious bread of life to a starving sinner. Christ is the precious robe of righteousness to a naked sinner. Christ is precious life to the dead sinner. Christ is precious peace to the defeated enemy. Christ is precious wisdom to the ignorant sinner. Christ is precious freedom to the captive sinner. He's precious light to those who sit in darkness. He's the precious way to the lost sinner. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He's a precious Savior, a precious refuge. Christ is so precious. Christ is all you need. He's a precious foundation. Number four, Christ is the safe hiding place because Christ is the sure foundation. Notice where God laid this foundation? He said, I laid it in Zion. Zion is God's church. The whole church of God, every believer, is built on one place. The Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ himself holds up the entire church of God on his shoulder. It's a number no man can number. All held up. All supported, all eternally secure in this one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ will never crumble. So the church will never crumble. Not one living stone built upon the Lord Jesus Christ will ever be lost, will ever die, will ever fall off and be lost, because Christ the foundation will never crumble and he'll never fail. Now last, Christ is the sure foundation of faith. You don't enter this foundation, you don't enter this refuge by works. You enter Christ by faith. Isn't that what Isaiah says here? This is what God says through Isaiah. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now I've told you, you come to Christ. You hide in Christ. What is hiding in Christ? Do you wonder that? What is hiding in Christ? What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. I can tell you. Hiding in Christ is simply believing Christ. Just believing. All right, how can I tell if I believe Christ? Well, didn't our Lord say the work of salvation is done? He removed all doubt. What did he cry? It is finished. The blood's been shed. The price is paid. You who believe are complete in him. Well, if you have faith in Christ, if you believe him, you're resting in him. You're not trying to work to do yourself a little better because you believe him. He said it's finished. Then I don't have any work to do. It's finished. If you believe Christ, you're not out there trying to shore up the foundation that God's laid. Because you believe. Christ is all you need. That's hiding in Christ. And if you're in Christ, if you're hiding in him, you'll never make haste. Now look in Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul sheds some light on this for us. You'll never make haste if you're hiding in Christ. You're not going to be running around in a panic, wondering, is Christ enough? No, you be calm. Because you believe Christ is all. He's all I need. He's all God requires. Romans 9, verse 33. As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you're hiding in Christ, you'll never end up being ashamed because you find out I'm really not accepted in Christ. If you're hiding in Christ, you'll never be ashamed because you find out you're not covered by Christ. He's covered your nakedness. He's covered your shame, made you perfect. Well, all right. How can I trust in Christ? I hear what you're saying. I'd like Him to be my refuge. How can I hide in Him? How can I trust Him? By hearing Christ preached. Back in our text, Isaiah 28, verse 9. By hearing Christ preached. Whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. Now who's going to hear that message? Babes in Christ, who God has weaned. And these babes, wherever you find them, I've been off many places in this country, going around filling in. Janet used, before I became a pastor, she said the best term to use is a filler-inner. You go fill in all these places. And it's been a blessing to go preach in many different places. And this is what I find out. No matter where you find God's people, you know what they want? They want the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of Christ. I don't know where y'all came from this week. What different walks of life, different troubles and trials of this life that you've been through, I suspect is much like mine. What do you need? What do you need? Sally, you don't need a smart-sounding doctoral dissertation. You need Christ. Is that right? Give me Christ. Just give it to me simply. What do you mean? God's people need Christ. And He's got to be preached simply. Preach Him to me so I can understand what you're saying. Now I can work hard to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I can't make you understand the gospel. Who can understand God? Can you understand that God was made flesh? No. Can you believe it? No, absolutely. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. That's a mystery. I can't make you understand it, but now you can understand what I'm saying when I say God was made a man so He could be your substitute, so He could be the representative of sinful men. Can you understand substitution? Can you understand how God made His Son sin for His people? That He transferred your sin to His Son so He could transfer His righteousness to you. I can't understand that. I can't. Who can understand that? But now you understood what I just said. Every person in this room understood what I just said. We can make sure people understand what we're saying. You may not believe. You may not leave here believing what I'm preaching to you. But it's my responsibility to make sure it's in simple enough terms you understood what I was saying. You understood what I meant. That's why Isaiah says here, you preach line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I tell you what that means. You break it up in simple components so people understand what you're saying. A, B, C. And then come back tonight. You know what I'm going to do? A, B, C. By God's grace, that's what I'm going to do. And don't go on to D, E, F till you got A, B, C down. And then go on. A, B, C, D, E, F. And then go back. And that's line upon line, precept upon precept. And if you hear the gospel, you hear God's gospel, you're going to hear it from a man who's got stammering lips. I can't tell you how many times I lose my place and just get confused. Where was I going with this? You know how it is, Mark. You go down a rabbit hole or something. You know, what was I doing? And go home and I'm getting ready to jump off the roof. And Janet said, now, wait a minute. You know, it's just a man with stammering lips. He's a clay pot. He ain't much. But I'm telling you this. If he's God's servant, God's put his message, the message of Christ in him. And he got stammering lips. But that's all right. He can't say much, but ABC. But that's good. Because all God's people understands ABC. They go real well together. God's children go real well together. The man has got stammering lips. Now, God's the one who laid the foundation. And God's preachers, they're going to build on that foundation. They're going to build line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here little, there little. Sounds to me like that building's going up slowly, doesn't it? But that's all right. That building that goes up slowly, when it's finished, you're not going to have wood, hay, and stubble. You'll have gold, silver, and precious stones. This is the way God teaches His children. The gospel is by repetition, just repeating the simple truths of the gospel. ABC. Man is lost. Lost in Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And in Christ, a sinner is made perfect. Now run to Him. Don't walk. Don't wait. Run to Him. Hide in Christ. Look to Him and keep looking to Him. Come to Christ and don't ever leave Him. Because it's all Christ. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the walls. Christ is the roof. He's the crown of it all. Verse 5 in our text. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of His people. Christ is the crown of it all. It's all Christ. Run to Him. Hide in Him. He's the sure refuge. I hope the Lord bless that to you.